everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
Visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. If you have a topic or guest, find the Discord or email us at wadeandwilly@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Sean Baby. Thank you, Sean, for subscribing on Patreon and becoming a friend of Charlquan. I'm drinking my usual, the cheapest vodka I could find, Svedka. It's cheap, but it's in a glass.
Yeah, cheers. I'm drinking Modelo. Love it. They don't add fluoride.
Thank you, Sean. If you want to be a producer of an episode, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Join the Friends of Charlquan tier. Get access to some sketches that I did like 5 years ago. And Willie, I think Willie put some AI up there early and stuff. So there's reasons. It's not just these shows. But thank you, Sean. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our friend, old friend, really. I mean, like, old. It's been a while now. He's a filmmaker. He's the writer, director, editor, visual effects. Do you do the subtitles?
Yes, I do the subtitles.
He does the subtitles. He's got it. If you need a motion graphics guy to talk to our man here, it's Steve Gossett. What up, Steve?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me, Wade and Willie.
Thanks for being
good
here,
see
dude.
You.
Yeah.
So wait, I'm sorry. Princess Rap Battle is still happening.
Ostensibly, right? Like, I still, we can still make them, but I don't know that the world is ready to pay. Like, these are big productions we do. So the last one we made was 2 years ago, maybe. And the world has been, I don't know if the world's ready to pay for happy things right now, but we're hoping some company wants to buy another one. I want to make Ariel versus Moana, and I want it to be about two girls running away from their fathers, either to or from the sea.
And then you could get it sponsored by like Axe body spray, you know.
Perfectly, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly,
well, wait. So first of all, I don't know how this world works. Like, so you plan these based on if someone will sponsor something to pay for the budget of the production?
A lot of it. Like, our first couple we were making, and had like big starry-eyed visions of what making YouTube videos could be, and we're like, holy shit, we could get famous. Like, we could make a lot of money. And we're like, oh, the money's not actually that good. And we were doing these like 30 or 40 person crew SAG productions and like
what
full builds. And like, we're like really trying to do it as big as we can as like, because originally it was not about making money. It was like, hey, we can make these big, bad, high quality things.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it was like, we're getting like Loot Crate sponsorships, or we're getting sponsored by like Universal had a movie coming out. So we'll do one for them, or we'll do one for Warner Bros. And like, I don't mind working with clients like that at all. For a lot of people, eventually I want to make movies or TV shows. And like, the clients are going to be these big, horrible monsters that want you to do terrible things. And I'm down for that. That's what I signed up for.
That's the entire television wouldn't be around if we didn't have cigarettes, you know?
Yeah. No, I honestly, yeah. Cigarettes, come and sponsor. Get on board.
Fucking A. Oh, you can't advertise on television anymore. Go Princess Rap Battles for 12-year-olds. Get them while they're young.
Yep.
So, Steve, how into this world are you of like all kind of conspiracy, like that whole kind of thing? Are you into that or do you...
I like being around it. I'm what I would describe as a wet blanket or a stick in the mud in general.
Oh, fuck. You came on the wrong show.
Right? I know. I feel like when I grew up believing a bunch of BS, and then I got real mad in my teen years at how wrong all of it was. Like,
what? Wait, tell me more about that. Were you religious or something? Was it a
religious house? And I was like, I was the kid that was ready to fight other kids because Santa was real. Like, they'd already been like let in, but I was like so mad, and I needed to be right so bad. And like,
I was late.
In life, that became like,
I was late too, but I wasn't willing to fight for it. I hid it. I was in the closet about believing Santa.
I was like, because if you are raised on like things being about faith, then you don't need facts, right?
Yeah.
So I was like doing this rationalization and like, I was like, oh, if I'm just better at arguing, it doesn't matter if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns
out...
You're
like the president.
Right. Yeah. Well, my dad was a lawyer and like a politician. And I was like, oh, I can just do this. But then pretty soon I was like, that is a horrible way to be, because I don't know if you guys ran into this, like around, because I was growing up during the age of the coming of the internet, and all of a sudden some of these like early conspiracy theories, I was like talking about at parties, like Mr. Rogers being a sniper, and like, which isn't true but sounded good. Mm-hmm. Or like or glass being a slow moving liquid, just because I read it somewhere and I was like, oh, that sounds like a great thing. I wish that's what
Wait,
it was.
Wait, that's real, isn't it?
No, it's an amorphous solid.
It still moves, because my middle school, the windows were like they were like a triangle. Like they were like so that's fatter where, at the bottom.
That's where it all comes in. The answer is, if you're not making actual slabs, like perfect slabs, the people that are putting in the windows, if it's not uniform, they'll put the bigger part at the bottom. Like that's what used to happen in old churches when they didn't have like perfect like silicone or basically lead-based glass.
So it was just a fucking shitty window pane. And yeah. They're like, oh, this one's, wow.
Okay. So, and that's like, because I was like telling people all that. And then right. Every once in a while, someone would be like, hey, you know, that's wrong. And it sucks so bad to be wrong. But I was like, fuck you, I'll never be wrong again. And so I like turned into that, like a zealot for truth for a while. Cause I was like,
man, that's such the wrong reaction. The correct reaction is fuck you, narc. You're ruining the party. I'm talking about fun shit here. What are you, the police of windows?
Yeah, right. So like, that's where I was like, all right, well, I'm in this quest to be right. I realized that to be right more often, I had to admit when I was wrong faster.
Yeah, that's smart.
I'm not like a complete stick in the mud, because I actually am somebody who loves science and the big world. Like I took extra astronomy classes and mythology classes in college just because I fucking love that stuff.
Yeah, okay. So, okay. Yeah, I get it. But you never like dove into like Bigfoot or anything like that.
There's a lot of want to believe back in the day. And like, there still is like, if we can get evidence for it, I'm in for it. But like, mm-hmm. Bigfoot's one of those that I'm like, oh, that's, I get why people believed in it. But I'm the old film of it and like the story behind the actual like Occam's razor, where I'm way more into the, it's very likely that this was just like a good prank, like crop circles.
So when the crop circles were debunked, you were like, okay, that makes sense. Cause there's stuff to it, man, that like is still weird. Well,
I agree. There's still a bunch of weird stuff. And like, I'm not saying that everything has an explanation. There's tons of things that we don't have explanations for, but we've gotten better at explaining things. And I don't have to imagine that like I prayed for something and God turned on a machine during industrial attack class.
Well, let me ask you this before we get into the, because you said pray, are you still religious?
No.
What was the kind of thing? Was it just becoming a teen and going like, fuck church, I don't want to do that?
No, I think it actually took me longer to come around to it. Part of like church indoctrination is it teaches
right.
you to
it's
be
powerful.
Like distrustful of everybody, but you're not allowed to put the magnifying glass on your church.
Yeah, no questioning.
Yeah.
So I got stuck in that. And I was, when I was around 20, my mom passed away, and she passed away really believing. And it made it so like I couldn't even look at it in any real capacity for many years after that. It took a long time. When I finally had to like, I don't know, it was one of those times where I didn't have a job and I had like enough time to like really think about it and figure it out. I'd already moved out to LA. It was hard because like, again, being wrong or like, God, believing something for so long. And then like, it's painful to have to like go back on that in the same way that, you know, anybody having to like reverse or being wrong, like it hurts. So. But yeah,
but here's what I want to ask about though, sure. Because prayer, there's been studies that say it works. Well, maybe, hang on, maybe I'll just do the, let me just do the wow scale.
Wow scale.
The wow scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wait. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the wow scale?
Absolutely.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I believe that aliens are statistically very probable within the universe, within the breadth of all of it. Extraterrestrial life, I believe, is incredibly probable. I do not believe that they have visited Earth or visited us recently.
Ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts. I used to, you know, believed in demons and angels and ghosts and holy ghosts. And
do you put that in? Or you put the ghost thing into the religious stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bigfoot, you said no. You just want to say no, or do you have more to say about it?
No, but I think it's kind of great. Like, I was more of a Loch Ness Monster type, like, because I really love dinosaurs. But now that I've got a bunch of friends from the Pacific Northwest, they may not believe in Bigfoot either, but if I tell them I don't believe in Bigfoot, I've just, like, ruined their day. They're like, no, but, like, Sasquatch is kind of our guy.
Yeah, he's the guy on the basketball team that never gets any time, but everybody likes for some reason. Do you believe that 9/11 was an inside job?
Well, starting, I believe it happened. I believe that there was possibly information that would have been given to us, but I attribute not finding out about that to ignorance and stupidity rather than a grand conspiracy. I do believe that what was done afterwards was a little skeevy, but I don't think the going into it was part of a larger conspiratorial plan.
Okay, that's a no, man. Fifth question. The multiverse. Do you think that there's a future where we could travel in between dimensions and universes?
So this is like bubble universe, multiverse theory, like the membrane multiverse theory.
It doesn't have to be like there's another me on a different universe. You don't have to go that far. It's not like, oh, this is a universe of people or dogs.
This falls under, because I fucking love sci-fi. And I typically love hard sci-fi, but like the more we find out, the more we're able to like bend into hard sci-fi, like Star Trek versus Star Wars or whatever. I think that it is a fun hypothesis. And I think that it is in sort of a, you guys know the Russell's teapot?
I don't. Really.
I don't think so.
Bertrand Russell was a philosopher. I don't know.
Oh, well, I've heard of that. I've heard of Bertrand Russell.
He theorized that. The idea is, he said that there is a teapot floating in space between these planets and you can't see it, but you have to believe that it's there. You can't prove that it's not there, right? But the idea behind the Russell's teapot theorem is, if you're making outlandish claims, it's not that you can't prove that it can't happen. Like right now, the multiverse theory, we can't prove that that's not real, but there's not, as far as I've seen, evidence for it. So it's in a fun, fantastical, I don't mind people looking into it. If we see evidence for it, it'll go from fantasy to science immediately. So
yeah, it's a nice gray area between fiction and reality. It's kind of like when you hear people talk about black holes. I'm like, this is all theoretical. Just because it works on paper doesn't mean that that's the actual way that it works.
But we have a lot of evidence about black holes.
Yeah.
I do love, and I like that there's even like within our lifetimes, we have more information about black holes. And we've got people researching simulation stuff. We've got, like, I used to like participate in the like SETI stuff, trying to like the search for extraterrestrial life. And we're like looking through, like, you could set your computer up to be part of the like mass like SETI thing to try to like interpret radio signals or whatever. Because I think that like the search for it is fine and good. Like a lot of times it doesn't always have like the best scientists behind it, but some of them are. And like that's how you're going to look for evidence.
So, okay. You're a straight up zero. Congratulations. So am I. Yeah. It just sounds like you're like a, prove it sort of guy, right? You're never like a, no, that doesn't exist. You're like, well, you're agnostic.
What's more important is if you can talk about the possibilities of the things that we can't prove.
I love those areas, especially like for the religion part that I grew up in. Are you guys familiar with the concept of the God of the gaps?
No.
I've heard that. I can't remember it, but I've heard.
So like early man couldn't figure the fuck out like any of these phenomena, like rainbows or death or anything. And so any place, and this is not strictly, but the idea behind this God of the gaps theory is anything that you couldn't explain, that's where God was. Right? Like God was responsible for the thing. Like, I don't understand what happens. We have sex and then there's a baby. I don't get it. And all of a sudden we're like, okay, we understand this. And so the God of the gaps was filling in all this blank for information that humans didn't have, because we're like, we need God to explain these things. Mm-hmm. And that like over time, the more we know, the fewer gaps God can live in the same way that like, I'm sure that cell phones have like reduced certain things, like certain phenomena that was happening a lot or like reported happening. as soon as we have cameras out there, there's not as many of certain things. We're like, well, that one's not as good. Like we've got that covered.
Yeah. Is that why Nietzsche said God is dead? Because there's fewer and fewer gaps? Is that what he was talking about?
He's actually part of the, like, talking about the stop gaps in knowledge is part of, like, that was actually, Nietzsche was part of this, like, lineage for this theory about, and again, it's not, like, strictly the God of the Bible is this God of the gaps, but this, like, the stuff we don't know, there's very few things, theoretically, that are unknowable, right? And we get better and better about discovering these things. And some of the stuff, like, look, there's certain, I don't know, UFO type stuff that you're like, hey, there's a real fucking thing that this was. Or there's like, we're discovering other things like, oh, like we have a better and better understanding of like Aurora Borealis and other like things like that we just.
Comets, yeah, you know.
Comet stuff is like, that's great, especially because like a lot of the observable stuff doesn't always come, like, are we going to live long enough to see Halley's Comet again? I assume you guys are about my age.
When does it come around again?
84 is when it came by last, I think.
And it's every 87 years, I think.
75? I thought it was 75 years.
You might be right. I was a little kid.
I remember, I probably saw it. I don't care. I don't care if I saw it or not. Honestly.
I knew my great-grandpa lived through both of them. I don't think he saw either one, but I was like, oh, that's cool.
I like that.
You're old as fuck, Grandpa. You probably drove a Model T. All right. Well, hey, let's get into one of these fucking topics. Willie, hit us with it.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, could plasma or plasmoids be conscious? Plasma, the fourth state of matter, but actually the first state of matter in the universe, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, it exhibits self-organization. It supports nonlinear dynamics reminiscent of neural networks. Does consciousness need biological tissue? Grab a drink and join us as we explore if the sun could be alive tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
I like how since you started using ChatGPT to write these, it always says grab a drink at the end.
Oh, no, no. This one I made myself, and I also started adding grab a drink. That's the show, man. Like, we're like, I just trying to remind people, like, grab a drink and fucking hang out with us. Not like you're not jumping into the facts being spewed out.
Yeah, it's not like get your pencils ready. There'll be a quiz at the end.
Right. Yeah, we're not Joe Rogan over here. So really, this is about the question of, does consciousness need tissue? Is that what you said? Tissue?
Yeah.
Or
biological tissue. But yeah.
But really, you want to talk more about these things that you've learned about plasma, right?
It's going to come from all of it, you know, not necessarily specifically the sun, but like plasma itself is, or plasmoids, when people study them.
Go back, because the first time I ever heard about plasma was probably like, you know, fucking ninth grade or something. And then college.
You microwave a CD.
Yeah.
I'm thinking blood plasma. What is plasma? Okay. What are we talking about?
That's actually what it's named after. So plasma is the fourth state of matter, and it's basically ionized gas.
Is it like goo? It's like lightning, goo, right?
Lightning.
No, it's like a solar flare or a neon light or lightning.
Ugh, fuck. I don't know what plasma is, dude.
Did you know that hot fire was plasma? Fire is called a dirty plasma.
One of the four basic Earth elements is plasma, not fire.
No, it's fire.
What about all the Pokemon?
Plasma Pokemon are too powerful. They can't be allowed.
Is there a lightning Pokemon?
Yes, that's what Pikachu is.
Yeah, so he's a plasma then.
All right. You know what? You're right.
I'll take it.
What about the firebenders in the bending show?
Plasma.
They're actually plasma benders, so they could probably bend. Huh?
Certain kinds of fire are not like fire. Yeah. Fire isn't necessarily ionized.
What's the definition of ionized?
It has an electrical charge. It's either positive or negative with its electrons. So,
and that's what makes a plasma. Doesn't metal have that?
Plasma is.
It's got to be gas.
It's a fluid, and almost like 99.99% is gas. So plasma. Part of my research for today, when I found out what the topic was.
Yeah. Great.
It makes up 99.999% of all regular matter in the universe.
And from the Big Bang, it was the first state of matter. It was
okay. That energy. Is my unintelligence slowing us down too much?
No. You know, I definitely like have studied science my whole life, but I'm just like, you constantly have to recenter yourself when you get new information, because I didn't know that a lot of fires could be plasma. I knew there was plasma in the sun, but plasma is a kind of a new thing, because we just are, within the last, I'd say 20 years, have we the mainstream science identifying plasma as it being everywhere. It's always like, oh, it's not really on Earth, but it's the ionosphere, because it's charged particles in the around the Earth. And
it's actually the space between the planets also.
Yeah.
Again, here's another thing worth noting. I studied today. I was like, I need a refresher, because I haven't done like some of the stuff, because I was like, I love to appear smart. I apologize. It's something that I like. It's part of who I am. But I can't do that without re-updating, because I was like, holy shit, I took classes on this, but I haven't looked at this in the last 10 years.
Okay, but here's what I don't like. Here's what I don't like about what we've said so far. Plasma is everything.
Yep.
So base is plasma?
Well, because like there's solar wind there, and it has a like a low level, like it's not nothing, right? There's stuff there within that.
Yeah, I don't like it. This just sounds like a definition of like, this sounds like the gap god. This sounds like we don't know what it is.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I really feel like the gap of science and our understanding of the universe, the gap is consciousness. Anything that we don't understand, it has to do with consciousness. And that's why it's easy to be like, oh, if you look at the way neural networks work, plasma has way quicker electricity than how neural networks work. So if the sun were a brain, it would be a billion times more efficient than a brain, than any brain we've ever seen. I mean, you know,
I would be happy to talk about like star brains. Because when you said the plasmoid, which is when I looked it up today, is so plasma by like one of the things about it is because of its the ions and what makes it up, it not only conducts electricity very well, but it's super susceptible to magnetic fields, and you can actually contain it or make shapes of it out of like a magnetic field in like a very cool way.
Picture the electricity ball. There's plasma in there, and people play with magnets around them and can make toroids and make different like geometric shapes and stuff. It's fucking cool.
That, like, you know, the globe you put your fingers on and it goes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So that's plasma. So the thought is, in these plasma-like structures, a plasmoid just means that it's a structure of plasma that doesn't like rapidly dissipate, that it's like got like St. Elmo's fire type stuff, like, in, or like re-entry, or anytime you've got like something that will be stay that way over time is what plasmoid is. And it exhibits lots of strange stuff, especially with like magnetic fields, like, oh, why is it doing this thing? And I think the theory was around like, could this theoretically be that it's intelligent or smart, or even to a larger thing, like if we're just talking plasma, like can a star have intelligence or something like that? Is at least a, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to be clear, we're not talking about any blood stuff.
No,
we're not. why do they call the blood plasma so, if it's a fucking element?
The blood one was plasma first. And when they were doing observations of plasma, like they were noticing that like, because it has, it's has all these charges, especially over time, like it would be maneuvering over this sort of like two-dimensional thing. It looked like blood plasma flowing like through.
So they named plasma after plasma. Yeah.
This is a weird thing where like fringe science kind of takes over too. Like, I don't believe the heart is a pump. I believe that the heart is a vortex machine.
Oh, okay. But that's,
and
but
well, a little side far. Thing real quick, a little but side that, thing real quick.
But just to be clear, this has nothing to do with the topic, right?
No, it doesn't. Okay. But basically our blood being charged is a parallel there, that like we have metals, we have charged metals in our blood, you know, iron and
yeah.
Supposedly we used to have a lot more copper, but this vortex machine of the heart. So it's not pumping the blood. Your blood is positively charged and it's moving through a vortex. So,
sure, maybe. Yeah, I doubt it. Otherwise, what's a heart attack? I mean, like,
what do they do when you have a heart attack? They fucking charge you with electricity. And what's the first thing they do when you have a heart attack? They pump your blood. They pump your blood with salt. So you are a salt battery.
Part of this has to do with how our muscles work, and sodium, like pure water doesn't conduct electricity very well. Like one of the reasons sodium helps your brain is you actually need to be able to like transfer an electrical signal. And sodium is an easy way to make ions, like with table salt, as we would call it. Because sodium is one of the alkali metals, which means it's left side of the periodic table, and it transfers electrons very easily. And it's right under hydrogen. Like it's there for, and hydrogen is the big thing and like was part of this big theory for plasmoids.
Yeah.
At least like the one I saw that was this sort of fringy science. At the very least, it's interesting, right? Like this is even like, have you guys like covered time cubed stuff?
Not yet.
Well, that's like the wonderful deep dive internet schizophrenia, like that sort of stuff. And like the funny thing is, there's probably bits of truth there, right? Like just because somebody's wrong about one thing doesn't mean they're wrong about everything. Motherfuckers have been trying to square the circle forever. Yeah. And there's always somebody new who thinks they've got it. Like Terrence Howard thinks he's got new math.
Fuck that guy.
Right.
But it's worth listening to because
It is not. If you want to fill your brain with a bunch of nonsense from another human who knows nothing more than you do, he's just sat around.
Dude, his little drone that flies has got a new technology that I'm like really impressed with.
Fuck. No, it does not have a new technology. There is no way this motherfucker has a new technology. This guy.
He's got patents. Like he's legit.
I'm sure he has patents. I could get a patent. I'll just draw some weird fucking shit that hasn't been invented yet that means nothing. I'll get a patent.
But I didn't even plan on this. I was so happy to bring up the heart stuff because I'm like, yeah, you know, I think we are a battery. I used to have a lot of back pain. I know that I work less, but I'm like,
listen, I'm with you on that. But I want to get to the actual plasma shit.
I do start my day with sucking on salt, but let's rock. Plasmoids is just a small version because they've seen plasmoids like do things where it looks like it made a turn. It looks like they've made decisions and plasma.
Well,
too,
let me cut you off just for this question. We've seen cells do stuff like that, but is that part of the question almost? Because you know that there's like, fuck, how do I even say this? Like, you know that there's kind of like life in a cell. And so it's looking for other.
Yeah. I mean, it is the building block. You need those building blocks to create what our definition of consciousness is right now. You know, to be able to have a brain that is self-aware, you have to have all the little parts that make that up. And it's not just that, but when you see...
Let me focus it. So we've seen cells move around on like microscope slides or whatever. They seem to have their own, right? They move without... They're just like fucking...
Yeah, they got programming, basically.
Yeah. So is the argument that plasma is like a bigger version of that?
So
is a plasmoid?
The idea behind this was it's a couple guys. One guy was an energy baron, and another guy was a, you know, one of the random long-haired, wonderful thinking scientists that wanted to like have everything come together. Everybody's been looking for the grand unification theory for years and years in science. Some one theory.
It'll never happen, but they're trying to get the credit. Yeah.
So this is the plasmoid unification theory, which was almost everything that we can't explain might be a plasmoid. Because, for example, if it's lightning or like high atmosphere lights that you'll see that you can't explain is often plasma. And they're like, what if plasma explained everything, right? At least a little bit of it. Like, what if it was conscious? What if it was all the UFOs? What if it was intelligent and like at a higher level was like in charge of these sort of things? And like
higher frequency of dimension and yeah.
So when I was looking at it, I was like, look, there's like a few people involved in this. I was like going in incognito mode because I didn't want to go to any Joe Rogan stuff. But like I looked at a little bit of what, because one of the guys is talking about some infinite energy stuff, like breaking rules of thermodynamics, which is those kind of guys have been around for a long time. And he was talking about how plasma is going to solve that. And the other guy was talking about like there's the thought of, wouldn't it be great if there was life as we don't know it that is explained by, if we can't explain the behavior of this like gas, wouldn't it be great if it was intelligent? We're anthropomorphizing, or there's they fucking call it It's a category error. It's where we, because we're trying to search for meaning in everything we see, we'll occasionally miscategorize something. Like, I'm assuming, right? That like this plasma is doing something we don't understand with
matter. Yeah, it's like dark matter. Oh, we don't know what that is, but there's something there. It's dark matter.
But the mischaracterization is like, oh, maybe this is, you know, like the spirit of my grandfather making this plasmoid do something. Like that's a category error of like, oh, I'm trying to associate something that we don't have the evidence for. But it's also part of the human experience that we're trying to, how we learn is we try to make associations that even aren't there. And that's what I, when I looked at that, that's what I got from the plasmoid unification theory, that like, because we can't explain it, what if it was XYZ, even though there's no evidence for it. And it felt like, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah. No, listen, I understand that. And I love this topic because I get to snowball things that weren't big enough to be topics.
Like
one of them being there's people out there talking about how they think, and this ties in, I'm not like good, just going off on a tangent, that planets were born inside of the sun. And the reason being this is instead of just gas coalescing, and you know, our planet definition is based on us clearing the space around the sun. So like things have, Pluto lost its definition of a planet because it has not cleared its space. And it's a binary
thing. What do you
mean
cleared its space? What is that?
So all of the asteroids and meteors and all the things around the Earth along our path have been sucked into the Earth because we're big enough to have the gravity to not have anything in our way.
And Pluto doesn't do that.
No.
Yeah,
it's one of the Kuiper objects. We have bigger moons in our solar system than Pluto by a lot.
Yeah. Like our moon's bigger. Our moon's about the same size as Pluto. They're very close.
Ganymede, Titan. Like our moon is the fifth largest in our solar system.
Okay. Go back to this, that they were born in the sun.
So one idea is that, and they've done this with plasma where they've made little plasma balls and it started shooting out little things. Let's just say we don't actually... All of our science about the sun, we've observed a bunch of things, could be a little wrong. All of the planets were born inside of it because it's just fucking shit going on, plasma floating around, spinning around.
Right, because the sun isn't a thing, right? It's just like gas. It's just fucking plasma or whatever.
So one of the things that happens at the core of a star is like let's say it's just all big hydrogen, right? And we're talking about with the pressure and heat and temperature at the core of a sun or a star, you actually start getting heavier elements. So what will happen is it'll actually go up to theoretically iron. So iron is actually the stopping point that will happen at the core of a star. And it actually, like, these are the sort of things that will eventually cause a supernova. And when there's a supernova, it actually causes, like, all of the gold on Earth, for example, came from a supernova. It is not a naturally occurring thing. It actually was the heart of a star exploding. And it just happens that, like, for the way the atoms combine, it basically just goes up at that level up to a certain point where you're combined. Just like the one electron, one proton, and sometimes with, like,
too fast, too heavy.
Yeah. And so it'll all create this unstable thing. And it's like a solid heart of the star molten, and it explodes into all of the heavier elements that we know all come from that.
And that's the Big Bang, right? I mean, so all of these things would have been created at the same time?
Extension, long past the Big Bang, as stars were forming and galaxies are forming, they're coming together, and the gravity of a star is what creates this, just like,
right, because it pulls in all the other shit.
And so and so the current model is all the gas is coalescing, and then the middle is just hot, but then all around here these all are coalescing also and creating planets. The other idea is the sun was bigger and these things were made in here, and as the sun gets smaller, these things kind of shoot out from it. And the proof for that would be that, like, well, everything has the same rotational energy as the sun, as opposed to, I know that, like, there's a couple anomalies in our solar system, but like they've been knocked and flipped and whatnot, but that the rotational energy comes from being made within that. The only point of bringing that up, if you take old texts about gods and whatnot, and you have fun and you apply it to maybe they actually knew how some things were made, then, like, when they say things like, oh, Mars was born from Jupiter and Venus was born from Saturn, these may have been mini stars that actually created these planets. Like within their mythology is a real history. And I know that that's crazy and fun on that end. But when you also hear people talk about, and now I'm bringing in crazy stuff, beings of light. There are people talk about interacting with beings of light and different forms of consciousness. What if that was an extension of beings that were part of the brain of the sun? And so it also, if you, and I'll finish shortly after this, but if you take the idea that we are all one consciousness and our existence is stepping away from the collective consciousness to have an experience and learn something and then join the consciousness again, if the sun was the force of that consciousness, and each sun was a different consciousness, each star, and these stars could communicate with each other. Well, I mean, it's just kind of a fun thing that like this sun created consciousness. It's one consciousness. In order to learn, it broke itself off and created these planets that it could break from itself and learn some things and then join the consciousness back again. And it was all just the sun. I'm just going like, that's just a fascinating sci-fi thing I've never thought of before.
You know how some people think that we humans came from Mars? Like, I don't know if this is part of it, but
Noah's Ark kind of thing where we've like left Mars.
We like fucked up Mars or whatever, and we moved on to Earth. What if we start? What are the orders? No one ever tried to teach me the orders of the planets. That my mother thing. No Mercury, one ever told me.
No, my Earth,
Mars. Right after Mars is the asteroid belt: Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Kuiper belt, exterior, Planet X. All that.
Wait, what's the last? What's the last one?
Neptune would be the farthest.
Neptune. Yep. So do you think we started on Neptune? Well, no, because aren't some of these planets gases?
Four of them.
So I think my theory is already out. I was thinking like, what if we're on like step, what are we, third? We're third?
Yes.
What if we started on, there's nine steps and we only have like three more to go until we get back to the sun. Two more.
We're in the habitable zone though. For life, we got to be in this Goldilocks band. I know,
but what if... That's not the case because we're all just sun people, you know?
And we evolve as we get closer or further away.
Oh, yeah. The Goldilocks area changes as we evolve.
Can I tell you something real cool about Saturn that I learned somewhat recently and I can't shut up about?
Yes.
Sure.
That there have been sharks on Earth longer than there have been rings around Saturn. We've had grasshoppers longer than we've had grass.
Have you heard of the book, The Rings of Saturn?
No.
There's somebody who wrote this book, and it is basically about how there are pictures of these devices that make the rings around Saturn. It's assuming that there's life there and that these rings serve a purpose for basically refueling.
Interesting. We've sent probes through them and like taken up close pictures of the rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think the
that's where they got the pictures for the rings of
machines Saturn. Came from. They're there. Okay, so
it's funny because evidence like that. I mean, here's the thing. I live in this world where just because a whistleblower says it doesn't mean it's real, but I love to jump into that world for a second to be like, well, if they did find that, they definitely wouldn't tell us because they need to figure it out before they can release anything. It's kind of like that time when I was in high school, they said, we found microscopic fossils of what could be worms on a Mars rock that hit the Earth, you know, a rock from Mars flew all the way. So right away, they're like, hey, life on Mars. And like, oh, we were wrong. These look like cell structure. And it wasn't. And then so like to release information and be wrong about it takes away all your credibility. So
But within our lifetime, we've also seen, like we often theorize, the evidence of that there was flowing water on Mars at one point in time. And we've actually like found evidence.
Yeah.
We've got rovers up there. We're doing the big bad thing.
Is Mars in the Goldilocks?
Yeah,
it is, right?
You could have like the theory was even at any point in time that spiders didn't need that much oxygen, so you could just put spiders there. Although I don't know that that's a good idea.
That would be like manufacturing your future enemy. If you put a bunch of spiders on a planet and then they evolved and became like spider enemies, then you're like, well, now we have a common enemy. We can unite all of Earth to fight these spiders who nobody likes. Nobody likes spiders.
it is edge of Goldilocks zone. That's why like all of the like the Total Recall, like, you know,
and the whole terraforming thing, right? So God, it's so funny. Oh shit, sorry, I just got an alert for this Nuggets game. It's tight.
I was at his 55 point game recently at with the Clippers.
Oh, you went to that? That's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, it's the most I've ever seen anybody score in any sport ever, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Were you conscious of it? Because when I'm at a game, a lot of the times I can't really take in the game because I'm like overstimulated by being at the game.
I'm only watching Jokic. The guy is just the best, baddest man on the planet.
It's like when you go to a football game and you get to see the whole field. It's like, if you're just watching him, you see that he makes a bunch of plays that like don't get any credit because it's like, well, somebody else scored.
All right. So anyway, plasma.
Okay. So there's something out there called Luminos. Imagine a creature not made of skin and bones, but made of like electricity and glowing gas, a conscious being. Because I do believe that this is a possibility. You've got polarized gas, and a lot of this is with magnetic fields, with electricity. Like, this thing could be smart. It'd be like a brain without having the physical body, kind of like if lightning learned to think. Well, you know, lightning exists for so quickly, but this is called a Luminos. It's like a plasma creature. Luminos exist in stars, nebulas, fusion reactors, and lightning storms. They don't have a solid body. Their body is like a pattern. It's like a shape made out of energy, a glowing knot of electricity held together, a 3D shape made out of magnets and magnetism and plasma, or, you know, like string.
It's like why, it's like why the Flash can phase through walls or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the Flash when he goes into the time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Whatever that time place is called.
Quantum theory suggests
speed force is what
speed force. When he goes into the speed force, he must be plasma to get into that speed force.
And they also think that at the smallest level right now, it's not 100%, but that quantum theory is that like the smallest thing is just a vibrating string, and the way that string vibrates is what it makes. So Luminos, these things like neurons made of lightning, thoughts that travel at light speed, a brain that constantly reshapes itself. So this is just a sci-fi idea of like, if this thing were conscious, how would it communicate? Light patterns, pulses of electricity, you know, maybe shifting color, just kind of the way the brain works. That would be their communication. And they would produce by just dividing, just the way that cells divide.
Where does this fit in with the human consciousness? It's a tricky question because you already think that we're supposed to all get along and shit. Does this have to do with the afterlife? Are we rejoining? Like when you break this down, it means we're that too, right?
Yes,
we're just like
totally.
So
that our energy, when we leave this, our energy in our brain joins this energy that is the same consciousness. So
that sucks though. So, but does that mean?
I think it sucks too.
I mean, are you watching Pluribus?
I need to, but I don't subscribe to Apple.
I've pirated it. If I can steal that shit.
Mark, yeah, I should do that.
Do you have to have a VPN to pirate right now?
It's not a bad idea.
During Game of Thrones, I may have gotten a warning from an ISP.
Yeah, they send you the fucking email, this toothless email that says, don't do it again. Time Warner, whatever the fuck. Come and get me, man. Come and get me if you don't like it. You're going to find me? I just won't pay it. Anyway,
I should have charged them for that last season.
Anyway, Pluribus, not to spoil anything, it's not a spoiler because it happens immediately, but like everybody becomes the same consciousness except for one person, the main character, and a few others. But
that sounds fun.
You know, doesn't that sound like hell?
This is why I never liked hell. I'm like, they're like, the definition of heaven and hell is like, hey, it's you without all your sin. And I'm going like, I don't identify with my sin, but it makes me me. So like, who am I without thinking or without being able to have a choice? You're taking away my choice.
Like, what do you think? But you wouldn't even think of it like that, because you would still have a choice. It would just be a part of this collective consciousness where you would agree that everything that you're doing is good or whatever, right? Because
I was just always a rebel, and in my mind, and I was like, I don't subscribe to joining everyone.
Well, but don't you want world peace and shit? You're always talking about, if we're going to talk to aliens, we need to get on the same page. And
I don't
the
want
easiest
world
way to do
peace.
That would be to share consciousness.
Yes. I agree. I think that is a great future, but I don't agree with us getting there from our capitalistic and leader rulers of the world. You know, I'm like, well, you can't join the consciousness of a king, because
no, it wouldn't be, though. You don't join his consciousness. Like,
we would all be king, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying we have to get over the way life works and the life that I want, and that's going to take civilization.
Here's what I want to talk about, though, because I that's all true, but is it I don't know why I just feel like Earth is a vacation or like a video game or something, where like we break off from this consciousness because it's like we don't have any competitive sports as a consciousness, right? Like so it's like, I don't know. So like, what do you think? Do you think that I'm assuming you,
like, am I me? Do I remember me when I joined the consciousness, or do I remember everyone?
Or do you remember just like, I remember when I was like really, I'm trying to think of a good word to describe you.
Am I going to remember my collection?
Right. Are you going to remember all the things that made you happy on Earth, like your toys? Because your son's just you. So like, fucking who cares? So it's the toys that are important. Do you think that's what it is? Do you think like, okay, so we die and then we go back to the consciousness, and then like, do we exist in the sun, or how does that work? Because plasma is a thing like that we can touch,
well,
right?
This is the thing that scares me about this unending consciousness after we die, is that like, well, there's still, I know that energy just transforms, but there's going to be an end to our star. And so is there, when this star dies, do we then join something else? And so it makes me go, is there a connectivity between stars and this energy? Because that energy would have a web-like connection as opposed to like...
But you're also talking about like what Isimov called the last problem. This is the heat death of the universe. This is entropy winning over time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, we've got, 5 billion left for our star? But like universal size, which is what... Eventually the energy, like the energy is all, you know, will approach zero. It will like, there will stop, the expansion will stop. The expansion of the universe is slowing.
In the same vein, that slowing might be just a brain of our universe. And there's another one outside of that. You know, I'm just going like, as big as we can imagine, it's probably bigger.
But what if it's not? What if, what if it's just solar system based, you know? And so. Yeah, what do we have, Steve? 5 billion years?
5 billion, I believe.
We got about 5 billion years left.
The like sun growing to a larger giant overtaking us.
It'll hit Jupiter, basically.
And then what happens? It gets big, and then what happens?
Well, eventually, like our sun is not going to supernova, but it'll probably white dwarf. So after it expands, it'll eventually like collapse on itself. So like,
and then what?
It just might sort of go out into a solar mass, or it'll be absorbed into something else. Like eventually the star go out.
Is the whole energy cannot be destroyed? Is that a human concoction? And once the sun's gone, then that's the end of energy?
So the energy can't be destroyed has like quotes around it. Like there are ways that like matter and energy, et cetera, can be theoretically like destroyed, but not within like the 99.9% of the world we're thinking of, right? Singularity, heart of a black hole or whatever, like nothing escapes except for Hawking radiation type stuff. Like there is like little bits of interesting hope in science, but like the sun goes out, the only chance we have is be somewhere else. We should be on a Dyson sphere around a newer, larger sun.
Well, but no, but you're talking about humans. I'm talking about
Oh, the consciousness.
And the energy itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then if we're, let's, one of the things I love about conversations like this is we can assume just for like the sake of a conversation that certain things are true and we can rule certain things out. We don't have to think about it. And we can say, all right, let's pretend that this universal consciousness, is it an energy? Is it a frequency? Is it memory based? Like whatever it is, like, let's say it extends to the end of the universe. The end of our universe, we're not sure what's going to happen. And like some of the theories would be the Great Crunch, which is where everything that expanded out comes back.
Yeah. I was so depressed when I, because I learned about that too early. And I'm like, I'm not going to experience that. Go on.
It is. Well, because that's one of the things that's depressing about you. It can almost lead you to nihilism. If you think about the actual fucking size of the universe or like the length of any of this stuff. Like it's like the numbers you can say or write down briefly go really big. I mean, they don't affect Wade.
No, I don't understand that, why that's everyone's a great, not a nihilist. Like none of this has any point.
That's a great TV show too. Heaven is experiencing the Great Crunch. Like heaven's real. People went to heaven and then the universe is collapsing. Yeah. So where do you go after heaven?
Everybody in heaven scared. Well, because like the it's very easy to
get there's a more fun version of that where instead of the great collapse, like somebody weaponized some sort of like energy killer thing and they've come for heaven and it's the devil.
Yeah. He's he's been plotting, he's been waiting for this time.
And then all of heaven is like, oh fuck, we need to work together. And they haven't used their brains in so long because they've just been playing shuffleboard or whatever.
All right, Steve, go on.
Where was I? Oh, I was talking about the nihilism of going too big for like literally like, you know, when you'll look at fucking Planck constant numbers or how big a Googleplex is. It's unfair to yourself as a human because that scale doesn't work for us. Like we can understand how big it is. But if you try to compare like how much you enjoy going to the taqueria to the fucking heat death of the universe, of course, it's not going to matter. But like one of the things that's important for the human experience is like being able to narrow your band down to like what can matter to you and your immediate surroundings and like how many generations up and down do you care about? For example, like I don't ever think of five generations up. Like and I feel like I try, but I can't go farther than that.
You think about four generations out?
I do. I had a barnstormer grandfather that like I'm interested in his life and like the shit he was pulling and I'm trying to think about.
Oh, was that just is that just your interest in history? And after five, you're just like I don't really care about like the Renaissance.
I think if I had like a rich family history and like a crest and all that other stuff, and I wasn't just random American slop, I might have a different view on it. But I also try to think downwards. Like, all right. My nieces and nephews, like it's tough to think of them being grandparents, but that's where we all end up. Like, and what from us goes forward. And that is so small compared to, oh shit, billions of years from now, the sun's going to go out. Right.
Yeah.
Ugh, man. I often think that we live in the worst time, but probably the worst time will be when the sun explodes. Right. Like that's probably We're dealing with Trump. He's peanuts compared to fucking the sun exploding.
I agree.
But and when it comes to like thinking about gender, I've removed that from my anxiety. I suffer from so much fucking anxiety. The last thing I need to worry about is anything that's going to happen after I die. Like I just I think, here's the thing. If we're on board with this and we all came from the stars, we're all star material and blah, blah, blah. I'm a little curious. I get it. Because evolution's a part of this too, right? Like we all came from the sun and then like evolution happened, right? And so we were the squirrels at one point.
Sure. Yeah. We were tough mammals around asteroids.
We were fucking dinosaurs and stuff. Do you think that we were dinosaurs or do you think the dinosaurs went back into the sun and they're just waiting for this whole thing to go out. They like rejoin the consciousness and they're like, rah, rah. I guess that could be like the lizard
evolutionarily,
brain that we talk about.
These little things aren't practical at all.
They're
chicken. I could eat them.
There's like, they are birds. Like that's like part of their.
Oh my God, dude! Brand. There is a bird that you can look up. Oh, fuck! I wish I could remember what it's called, but there's a bird you can look up, and he looks exactly like a dinosaur. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like kind of what happened. I used to want to be a paleontologist. I used to like really get into that, and like I was the kid who was mad they didn't actually follow the book for Jurassic Park when I saw the movie. And...
Well, they switched the sexes of the children, but like it was scientifically,
more the Triassic the guy Mesozoic got killed. Richard, what's his name, gets killed by all the little dinosaurs killing him. I'm like, how are they going to kill this old grandpa that everybody likes now? So they like what they did with Adrian.
Attenborough.
But anyway, that I used to be really into that, and now seeing like even like Earth time, like because we're not even looking at like universe time, we're looking at like just Earth time, and now like sort of just like evolutionary human time. It's wild to think that where we've gotten and how quickly we're moving as far as like certain things scientifically. Like it's not that long we stayed off the ground for a little while, right?
And it's and if there is any consciousness in sun energy or plasma, then we're either killing plasma when we set off nukes, or we're using this life to kill people. So it's this weird dynamic too of like,
well, almost everything we do is sun-based, like genuinely. Like, can I float you another like sciencey thing that sounds fun though? Trees. What makes up trees? Like, so if you plant a tree, where's the treeness from it? Where does the physical mass of the tree come from? The answer.
Oh! You mean when it pertains to energy? You mean
kind of it. Trees come from air. It doesn't come from the ground. Like trees that grow, they're a carbon-based life form, and they get it through photosynthesis from the sun, from carbon dioxide. That's why we want to breathe for plants and why they spit out oxygen. They take the carbon from it. And so a tree, it's not sucking the minerals out of the ground to grow. It's actually taking it from the air. And if you take a log and you like light it on fire, you're re-releasing like solar energy in some sort of weird cyclical way. You're like that. That's part of what, like, part of a big bad cycle. But like, the sun is responsible for all that and all life we have here.
I mean, that's a great point because they're taking energy from the sun and making themselves grow.
Yep.
So
yeah. So I'm going like, yeah, this you know, brown stargazing might have some validity to it. The perennium sunning.
Oh, well, you'd have to explain that to me. What is it?
That's when
exactly?
the idea like... is you have to aim your butthole at the sun, and like that's
right,
that part of your body can get sun energy somehow.
But why is it perennium and not asshole?
Right.
They couldn't think of a nice name for the butthole. They're like, we can't say butt, we can't say hole at all.
And look,
what's near there
is already taken.
Yeah. So they're just like, well, I have a problem. Just call it asshole sunning.
Oh, dude, I like mine the best. Brown stargazing.
Oh, I just, it's anything. It makes me think of shit. I don't like brown. You know how Trump is calling her what's her fucking name? Tyler Brown or whatever.
Green. Yeah.
Well, no, he's calling her brown because grass dies when it turns brown, or he's whatever. It's just like even your nicknames are getting fucking mental, man. Like get it together. What's the opposite of green? Green is good. I guess brown is bad.
Hey, you fucking hey, poopy face.
Yeah. You live in a dumb timeline, man.
So do you think, well, it's okay, but our sun's not exploding yet, so.
Yeah, no, we got time.
Count your blessings? No. Trees. So everything, it's all part of the consciousness. It's all, really, like, to go back to the plasma sun, we all came from the sun. I think we solved it. We all come from the sun. I don't know why we're here or whatever. Do you think that what we're doing right now is finding new ways to enrich our consciousness by like being people and squirrels and dogs and cats. Like, do you think when a cat consciousness, when my little Ollie over here dies and goes back into the consciousness, is she researching, or is this just a side effect?
I try to go the microcosm of the sun being conscious energy to my body. Do the parasites on my body have an effect on my consciousness? And, you know, a lot of them do, in that, like, they can make you crave
sugar.
Well,
there is, speaking of cats, there's the one where, like, the rats get it, and then
toxoplasmosis.
Yeah. But that's mostly about, like, I don't know that it fucks up your consciousness. It fucks up your,
Well, I'm just saying, like the small little parts of me.
Right.
Do they, if they were conscious, I'm not aware of their consciousness. But are they raising mine? Are they bringing information to me? You know, when somebody like has a dream that something's wrong and they're right about it, like, did their body tell them that, or did they just get lucky, or is it fucking crazy?
Well, shit. And now like, think about like psychics, if you believe in that or not. Like, there's a lot of people who believe in psychics, right? Because a lot of people think that they have it.
Well, and there's like apophenia. It's the human.
It's pronounced Awkwafina. She's a big star. She's a big star.
Awkwafina is when humans find patterns where there isn't. Part of what we do is that sometimes it comes out as like wanting there to be explanations for a dream, that, you know, like all the dreams you have or all that other stuff. And I'm not saying that's like the end all be all, but it happens all the fucking time. And it's like, sometimes the explanation is we were looking for a reason for a phenomenon, you know, like, and that's some of this, like the plasma stuff that when I looked at it today, it would be like trying to judge your life based on tea leaves or like, you know, the contrails coming off of a plane. Like, that's kind of what plasmoids are. Like, it's like a shape that is there for a brief period of time. And if it ever loses its energy, it turns back into atoms, because it's like it's ions that are separated.
But Mark Ruffalo had a dream that he had a tumor, and then he was right, and they got rid of it.
Was it a brain tumor?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, there you go. If it were like a stomach tumor, but it's in his brain. So like synapses are going, oh, what the fuck? Let's give him a dream. Let's give him a dream. No, I think I'm on your side here, but the way I'm not is because if it were a stomach tumor or a lung tumor, he wouldn't have had that, right? Because it's not in his brain.
I do think that our subconscious is much smarter than we give it credit for. I think it's always working. And I think that it is actually picking up stuff that we are not conscious that we're seeing. Like, you know, the thing where you're like, all of a sudden you start humming a song and you can't figure out why. And you go back synaptically to figure out how you got to that point. And you realize there's background processing happening. And it was working on it the whole time. You can't figure out how you got 10 miles down the road driving, but you were there the whole time and your brain was processing stuff. I think that sometimes our subconscious doesn't have a chance to talk to us. It happens for me in the shower or like when I'm doing other stuff, like all of a sudden I'll be able to like listen to what my brain was working on the whole time. And sometimes I think dreams is part of us putting that back together.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, for sure, because like you people who meditate are like way more conscious about that stuff. I think like I live in a world where I need constant like noise and distraction and stuff. And I think it's a hindrance to me. Like I probably shouldn't do that. The reason you think well in the shower is because there's no external fucking thing coming at you, right? It's like there's nothing to think about in there other than
you're relaxed and safe, right? Like, because like you've done it enough, you're doing routine stuff. Fucking apparently Sorkin, when he's really writing, does 3 showers a day, motherfucker.
But he has one of those showers where he probably walks in and sits down.
Yeah, but like I am surprised at the stuff that, because I also live a very distracted life, that when I think there's value, some of the value to meditation isn't that like you're connecting with something bigger and better, but you're letting yourself relax and listen to
I think that's it, right? It's the inner, that's the whole thing about meditation and all that stuff. It's about going inward, right?
Start asking the sun questions and see if you get any answers.
Yep.
I think, but if we're from the sun, then the answers are within us, Willie.
Yeah.
We are star children, like the things that make us up, some of which have had to come from, like, there's metals in us and things that make us who we are that had to come from the heart of stars. Like, we literally come from explosions.
Yes. So let's zoom out here and do a state of the union on how everyone is feeling. Willie, I'll let you start because we already know. Well, I don't know. Do you believe this, or like, what is your thinking here?
I like the idea because it's as good as anything that I've come up with. I don't need to believe in it. I just like the idea because I'm not going to figure out what the afterlife is, and that's not my goal. But I do like the idea of trying to figure out a bigger purpose here, only because I get lost in the idea of like trying to make money. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is humanity? I do think that if I'm sick, I'll go sit in the sun and there's healing properties to it. I just kind of take it as,
I mean, fucking vitamin D. Like, you don't even need to be like sick. Like, we know that vitamin D is something that we need and it comes from the sun.
Is there more coming from the sun? More energy for my body than a lot of the foods. Yeah, for sure. You know, like, picture half the food I eat today wasn't real.
You know, like fucking, I just want to know, was it Del Taco? What did you?
I did have today? Del Taco. I maybe the beans had something in it, but probably not, you know.
Yeah, maybe the beans. Best bet is the beans, maybe the lettuce.
All the crops there were from the sun, man. Like the tortilla.
Right.
Like this is
They're bastardized.
They're processed corporations. They've taken all the all the life out of them. But what if they haven't, Willie? What if processing cannot remove the thing that you really need, which is like the energy that comes from the sun?
Yeah, I'm into that because my poops are big.
Okay.
I don't know. I am excited to take this information and then reevaluate people that have had past life experience or, you know, have died and come back to life just to.
So you're putting this in your holster. You're going like this can be weaponized for later when something else comes up. I can tie these two together.
I dig it.
Okay. Steve, what do you think?
First off, thank you for having me on this, because there's very few opportunities we have to, like, I got to brush up on stuff. Like, I got to, like, look back, and because, like, it's very easy to be like, no, I'm such and such age, I've got this figured out. Like, we often need to, like, look back at stuff and make sure, like, or learn a new thing, or, like, again, the chances you have to be wrong. Like, I got to look a bunch of stuff up. I don't like the people that are sort of what I consider the bad actors in this, like people that are like trying to push actual junk science. I think there's a bunch of cool science behind what could be here, and like keeping an open mind about like the possibilities while not trying to make a hypothesis fit what you want it to be. Like, I'm totally into.
Yeah.
And I think that part of the way that the beauty of our human experience is that we get to know more and more as we go, and that there's still a whole fuck ton of things we don't actually know and we don't have nailed down. This conversation alone, I have enjoyed a shit ton. Like, I like this. And like, again, I don't, even though I'm a zero, I'm probably not a strict zero. I'm a 0.x, you know.
We have had negative scores. You're a zero because I'm the bottom line. There are definitely people in the negative. That's why you're a zero. I don't remember who was a negative, but it was like, oh shit, there's more to this. I think I was wondering, has anyone ever, okay, so you know how we bury our dead, right? And like back in the day, we probably didn't put them in boxes and shit because it's like wars and shit, and we're just like letting them bleed into the ground and then letting the soil kind of take them over or whatever. Has anyone ever, this is a good, if you could get the funding for this, if you're like some morbid scientist, you're like some kind of Frankenstein guy, if you could dissect the person and keep all the organs intact, this would have to be like a healthy, like 13-year-old. I don't know why 13, but just like long enough to have not done damage to your body. Like, I'm imagining this 13-year-old didn't smoke a lot of cigarettes or drink a lot of booze. So she died in a car wreck or whatever. And then you take all of her organs and just plant them. Has anyone ever done that? Just planted a bunch of organs and seen if anything grew?
Not necessarily. I know, that's interesting. Not necessarily organs. I have seen pictures of there's a country out there where they just put all their dead people into this big giant plate. And as they decompose, they basically create fertilizer. They're making fertilizer from humans.
Wow.
And,
okay.
I'm going
so much
like,
easier to just like get a cow.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But the decomposition helps if you do it, not just bury them. You know,
I'm sure it like, does, but it probably
Mongolia,
also
they
smells
do,
bad.
They do like open air. They like want people to be torn apart by birds and animals. So they like do open air.
So that they get up, so that they go back into the ecosystem.
Man, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, like,
I don't mind that. I mean,
I don't
I'm
mind
dead,
it. I don't ever want to be around it. Yeah. And then seeing the pictures, I was like, oh, the, you could see the shapes of people. Like,
well,
oh,
let's say your mom dies and they're like, okay, you could spend $20,000 to get a casket and put her in the ground, yeah, or you could throw her out there and have the birds eat her.
And then also cremation, you're wasting a lot of energy to cremate someone, you know? So like, yeah, feed some animals.
Yeah. My viewpoints on what to do with the dead has actually changed quite a lot. That's one of the things that like for future generations, we'll have to have different versions of it for, because eventually Earth is a graveyard, right? Like that's where
Yeah. We should talk about that. We should wrap this up. And then our extra episode should be like, what's the best thing to do with our dead? And I can already tell you that like fucking them would be, listen, I'll save it. But like, there's a good way to use them as sex dolls. But I'm going to
robot skins.
Oh, okay. See, this has legs. So we'll talk about what we do with dead people in the bonus episode. And Steve, thank you so much for being here. And so subscribe to the Princess Rap Battles. And then do you have anything, any other things you want to point people toward, your socials or anything like that?
You can find me on most socials under The Steve Gossett. If you're looking for Princess Rap Battles, that's on the Whitney Avalon channel. Check it out, fellow 101 alumni. Thank you guys so much for having me on. This is a delight. I'm looking forward to this bonus episode. People should subscribe to you guys for that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, this was great.
Cool. So thank you everyone for listening. Once again, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get access to the conversation we're about to have about fucking dead people. And Patrick, thank you for your money. Patrick sent us money. And then who's the other guy? Sean Bebo.
Sean Bybee.
Baby, thank you guys so much. Go to patreon.com/realistive. Blah blah blah. Steve Gossett, it's been a pleasure. Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Remember, I'm sorry, I just flashed. There's a Santa doll, and I think it's from something. But it goes, remember, you
the magic of Christmas is inside you. Yeah.
Yes. God. And it's the funniest voiceover in the world. And I think it's from a movie, but I didn't know that at the time.
I think
time.
Blue has that thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's probably from a movie. Yeah.
Remember that the magic of Christmas is in your heart. And also, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Fuck.
Bye.
Bye.